We're going to turn to a number of scriptures this morning. On Wednesday evening, we gathered here for the prayer meeting, and I read some verses from the book of Ephesians. I'm not going to read them all now, but I'll just read some of them from Ephesians chapter 1, and verse 15 says, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." And then in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." And I just shared on Wednesday evening, very briefly, that we see in these two scriptures how Paul had a care and a concern for the saints at Ephesus, so much so that he wanted to pray for them. And on Wednesday evening, as we gathered for prayer, we usually take it different ones, take it in turns, and we just make our own agenda for the prayer meeting. And on Wednesday evening, I felt that it was important that we should spend the bulk of the time praying for each individual that attends this as a place of worship. And I compiled the list, and we completed the list when we were here, because my memory is a little bit poor on occasions. And we came to the point that we were praying for 54 people that attend this as a place of worship. Some we know that can't come because of health reasons. Others can't come as regular as they would like to come because of other reasons. But 54 people, we ended up with names that we prayed for on Wednesday evening. And not only do we pray for those that come, we pray for family members that don't attend, those that may have partners or children that don't attend God's house. We pray for them as well, because we believe in the power of prayer. Amen? You are awake. We believe in the power of prayer. And as Paul prayed for the believers that were in the church at Ephesus, and it was a round-robin letter that would have gone to other churches as well, which tells me he would have prayed for the other churches on that circuit as well, we should pray for one another out of our love and our concern and our care for each other. And then on Friday evening, as I was sharing again from the book of Acts chapter 9, I highlighted on Friday evening the need at the moment within our own nation, Great Britain, the United Kingdom, that we need as a church and as individuals who follow and love the Lord Jesus Christ to be a people of prayer, because the enemy is attacking our nation. Our rights are being taken from under our feet, and we don't know how long it is that the government may seek to silence us, or other religions will try to silence us. And the antidote to that is that the church needs to rise up and to be a people of God's word and a people of prayer. And we're a church here that we're fortunate. Some churches only meet once a week, Sunday morning. Some a week, perhaps on a Sunday morning, and then they might meet sometime in the week for something. But we are a church that we meet on a Sunday morning, we meet on a Sunday evening, and we meet on two nights in the week where we can come together as God's people for fellowship, to be encouraged and to encourage one another and to be ministered to by the Lord. But sadly, that the numbers from after a Sunday morning, they can be so low. on a Wednesday evenings, the numbers are so low, which tells me that there's something wrong. That the people of God don't want to come and to gather together for prayer. And something is wrong that on a Friday evening they don't want to come to God's house to be gathered around His Word, to be fed from His Word. Because in the days that we're facing, that are lying ahead of us, we're more than ever needing to be a people of prayer and a people who want to be gathered and to come around God's Word to be fed and to be strengthened. And I don't know the reasons. I know that there are genuine reasons why some people can't come on a certain night of a week, especially if they've got young children and everything else. But I just wonder whether, and I'm not just talking here, I'm talking of churches in general, because it's a pattern that's followed across the United Kingdom. I just wonder that when it comes to the prayer meeting or to the Bible study in the middle of the week, that some believers just conveniently forget that it's happening. And this is my thought patterns. They just conveniently forget that it's happening. Or, secondly, when they think of it, they just can't be bothered. Just can't be bothered to make their attendance known in the house of the Lord in the week. And the other option is that there are many believers, perhaps, who just cluttered their lives up with too many unimportant things, so that being in the house of God doesn't seem to matter to them at all. But the days are getting darker. I'm not going to mention the stuff that I mentioned on Friday evening again, but those that were here are aware of what I mentioned, of the threat against our society, against our Christian values, against us as the people of God. And we need to rise up. We need to be a church that needs to get out of its slumber and out of its sleep. And we need to be a praying church, a people that come around the Word of God to be built up in the most holy faith, so that when the darker days come upon us, we will know what it is to stand firm. The enemy, it says in Scripture, is going around like a roaring lion, seeking who it is that he may devour. And I fear for many believers, because they seem to be so wishy-washy in their faith, that as the enemy comes, he will devour them, because they will not have ensured that their lives are fixed firmly in a pattern of prayer and of fellowship with God's people around His Word. And so, with a combination from Wednesday evening and from Friday evening, I want to just share something this morning, in particular from the Word of God on the subject of prayer. And I want to take us to, we'll see how time goes, because I've got a number of scriptures here. If you've got your Bible, I'd like you to turn to them as I give them. And I've got a word that begins with E to fit alongside each of these scriptures, which should help us to understand the importance not just of our own prayer, but more importantly, in the context of what I was speaking tonight, and the church, the body of God's people, coming together to be praying together. And the first one is in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And to give you time, I'm going to turn to them as well. And this is a scripture that I mentioned on a Friday evening. Acts 2, 42. It's a verse that we know very well, where it says, and this is, you know, within days or weeks after the day of Pentecost, it says, and they, and this is the disciples, the 120 that were in the upper room, and the 3,000 that were added to the church on the day of Pentecost. See how quick it grew on that first day? It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And so the first word is that we realize that the moment that the church had been born on the day of Pentecost, the believers realized the importance of coming, the essential of coming together to be gathered for prayer. Now, they were a praying people before the day of Pentecost, because it says in Acts 1:14, it says, all those with one accord were devoting themselves to the prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. they realized that prayer was essential for this new church that had been birthed as the on the day of Pentecost, as the Holy Spirit came upon them. And so what they were devoted to before Pentecost, they were still devoted to after the day of Pentecost. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayer. And the Church of Jesus Christ today in the 21st century needs to understand really what it means to be devoted to the things of God and to the ways of God, and to be devoted to teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. It's so important. It's so vital. The second one is, if we just move on a little bit, they're nearly all in chronological order, I think, in the way that the scriptures are found, is Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And it says here, we know what had happened. Those of you being here on a Friday, been going through the book of Acts, we know that the Peter and John had healed the lame man, and we find that it got them into trouble, and we find that the authorities came against them and the other believers, and they started to just persecute them. They tried to stop them speaking about Jesus. They tried to stop them preaching the gospel and everything else. And we find that they've been told again that they were no longer to talk about Jesus. And they gathered the people together, and they lifted their voices, it says in verse 24. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them." And they made their prayer. And it comes to verse 31, and it says, "And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness." See, the church had been threatened. Threatened by the authorities. And I wonder how long it'll be before we, the 21st century church, will be threatened by the authorities, or threatened by these ideologies which are seeking to undermine biblical principles, with the long LGBTQ and all the other letters that they've added to it. All these things which are undermining the Christian faith. How long before they try to silence us? We know that this week in Parliament, they're going to be debating again this conversion therapy bill. There are just a couple of people in particular that just will not let it go, and they keep pestering the government. And so it's going to be debated again this week. And the end result will be that they're wanting to silence the preaching of the gospel. Because in preaching of the gospel, it is a call to men and women to repentance and to conversion. And so just as the church was under threat here in Acts chapter 4, we find that they came together, and we find that the early church, as they came to pray, we discover the E word here is that they were energized. God energized them. God made them bold again. And whereas the authorities were seeking to give threats against them and to silence them, the church didn't cower and hide itself. But after the time of prayer, they were bold, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness. And the church needs to be energized today. I need to be energized as a pastor today. You as members of the church, the body of Christ, you need to be energized today to be able to speak up with boldness the word of God against all that is attacking the body of Christ in the day and age in which we're living in. And notice here another word it said that I'm going to bring in, that they were all exercised in prayer. It just wasn't just Peter and John or one or two others that joined to them. It says, and when they heard it, they lifted their voices together. And then it says, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't just a sprinkling of believers. It wasn't just half a dozen or six or seven or eight like it is here on a Wednesday evening. They were all there. They were all there seeking God for the boldness that they needed to stand against the authorities. And so they lifted their voices together, and they were all filled. You imagine going back to Acts chapter 4 and half a dozen, I don't know, 20, 30, 40, 50, or 100 of these believers realized that this prayer meeting was taking place, and they just thought, well, I can't be bothered to go. And so they didn't go to the prayer meeting. Imagine what they've missed out on. The place was shaken. It was filled with the presence of God. The Holy Spirit came upon them and filled them all. Brothers and sisters, we're missing out because we failed to come into the presence of God. We failed to come to the place of prayer where God wants to embolden us and to equip us and to meet us with our very needs. Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. I'm going to read verse 5 and verse 12. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 12. Peter's in trouble again. His note says, so Peter was kept in prison. Poor old Peter. He's in trouble again. He's in prison. But then I love what it says. But earnest prayer, there's the E word in this one. Earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. See, they cared about Peter. As I said on Wednesday evening, we care for one another. So in the prayer meeting on a Wednesday night, we love to pray for one another because we're concerned for one another. We care for one another. And we want that whatever every individual that belongs to our fellowship is going through, we want that God will meet that need. We want that God's favor and grace will be upon them. And Peter was in trouble again. Peter was kept in prison. But earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. And then verse 12 says this. When he realized this, because we know that the angel came and brought him out of the prison. And it says, when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. They were gathered together and they were praying. See, as one person had need in this church, the rest of them gathered together for prayer. Do we really care about each other as we should be caring for each other? Do we really love one another as we should be loving one another? Are we concerned for each other as we should be concerned for each other? Then if we do, and if we are, then not only should we be praying in our own private prayers for one another, but we should be making our way to the house of God to be joined together, to be praying for one another at this time. Then Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 13. Timothy, Paul and Silas are on a journey, and then we get to a point where they come to the city of Philippi. And here it says in verse 13, and on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place for prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. See, at this point there wasn't a church at Philippi. This is the moment, or following this, when the church at Philippi was about to be planted. But what I find in this portion of scripture is that as Paul and Silas were busy on their missionary journey, with all that they would have to do and everything else, they were eager to find a place of prayer. Eager to find a place of prayer. And you and I, we can get so wrapped up in so many things. We can be busy doing this, we can be busy doing that, but I want to ask the question this morning, because I believe the Holy Spirit is causing me to bring this challenge concerning prayer to God's house, to you as his people this morning. Are we eager to make that time in the week to be finally, not to find a place of prayer, because it's here, we know where it is, 7 o'clock, but to be here, eager to come to the place of prayer. And later in verse 25, We know that they were arrested and they were thrown in prison. And it says in verse 25, and about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. And they were singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. See, they're not only eager to find the place of prayer, but we find that when they were in the prison, they would exercise prayer themselves. They prayed in the prison. And what we find is, as they prayed and sung their hymns in the prison, their prayer became effective. Because we see that immediately that an angel came. And there was a great earthquake and the prison foundations were shaken, the doors were open, and everyone's bonds were fastened. And when the jailer waked, it says, and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, do not harm yourself, for we are all here. And it's from that moment that the jailer is saved, his family is saved, they're baptized. And from that moment, it is from their praying and praising in the prison that this church in Philippi was birthed. And we have that wonderful letter that we can read as Paul wrote to the Philippians that encourages us as believers in so many different ways. So they were eager to find a place of prayer. And when in trouble, they exercised the privilege of prayer, which became effective in the prison doors being opened and a family being saved. An effective prayer from there in Acts chapter 16 takes us to jump to the book of James. And I just love these verses in the book of James. It comes after the book of Hebrews. James chapter 5 and verses 16 to 17 that says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. There it is again. Pray for one another and that you may be healed. And then the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. The King James Version uses this phrase in that scripture, the effectual. There's that word beginning with E. The effectual, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I wonder what could be availed in this place. I wonder what God is ready and waiting to open the windows of heaven to pour out upon us. If only we would become obedient to the call to prayer and to be effectual and fervent in our prayer. Because effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man avails much. Then we go to Ephesians chapter 6. Going backwards now. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. In fact, I'm going to read from verse 13. Ephesians 6, 13. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And here's verse 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. The word here is the word equip. Equip. First and foremost, Paul says that we need to be equipped with the full armour of God. And I'm not going to go into the details of the armour this morning, but we know it well enough and what it understands and speaks of and everything else. Be equipped with the full armour of God. But I'm going to suggest this morning, in the way that Paul has written this letter to the church at Ephesus, that you can be equipped in the armour of God, but it is of no effect until you add prayer with it as well. Prayer. Because he said this, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then it's a comma, it's the same sentence. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert, etc. So we need to be equipped with the full armour, and part of that equipping is to be equipped with prayer. And why do we need the armour? And why do we need to be equipped with prayer? Well, verses 11 to 13. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. These things that are mentioned in verses 11 to 12, they are so apparent in this day and age in which we are living in. Now, I mentioned the Eurovision on Friday evening, and I just would not watch it. I could not watch it because I've read and seen some of the things that have been mentioned about some of those that were in the acts in Eurovision last night. And one of them is openly occultic, displaying the signs of the devil and of the occult movement. These are the days in which we're living in. It's no longer done in darkness, out of sight. It's done in the open, in the public venue. The powers of darkness are at work. And so much music of the world today is filled with lyrics which glorify sin, glorify evil, glorify the devil, glorify the principalities and powers that are at work. We need the armour. And we need prayer. We need it so much in this day in which we're living. And then this morning, Cameron started by mentioning that scripture from Matthew chapter 7. He didn't know my theme this morning, and I hadn't even got this verses down. But immediately he began to read these verses, verses 7 to 11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Of which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And another word came to me as those verses were being read. Ask, seek, knock. In other words, what the scripture is telling us here, what Jesus is saying is, be extravagant in your praying. Be extravagant, don't give up. You know what it's like with a little child, they keep asking for something. They think they're going to wear you down. Well, you know what it's like when you lost something? Well, you don't give up seeking till you found it. And you know that you're going to visit somebody, and you know they're in. But they don't answer the door. So you knock, and you knock, and you knock, and you knock. You're not going to give up because you know they're there. And Jesus says, be extravagant, keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking. And then the final one is in the book of Philippians. Philippians 4:4-7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now this is a big word for a farmer's son. For a country bumpkin. This word is equanimity. 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 Anybody know what it means? No. Equanimity means peace. It means calmness. It means serenity. It means tranquility. Paul writes here, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So easy to just take that verse and scoop it out of there. I think, oh, God's going to give you peace. But it comes following what we're told to do first. We can't take it out of its context. We've got to use it within its context. And it says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And when you've done that, it follows on. When you've done that, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So is your life troubled this morning? Do you feel like you're a little bit like Jonah in the belly of the whale? Do you find that life is difficult at this moment? You just don't, can't get through each day without worrying and struggling and striving over so many different issues? But Paul says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Bring it to the Lord in prayer. Bring it to the Lord in prayer. And when you've done that, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Prayer. Gather together for prayer. How serious do we want to be with God? How serious do we want to be with God? It's been asked of me a few times in regards to a vision for the fellowship. And I gave the vision. And so few have responded. And the vision I gave, which I believe the Lord gave me with 100% conviction, was to call the church to the place of prayer. And I shared it in the AGM 2021. Until we're obedient to what God has called us to do, He won't give us the next step. So I've discharged my responsibility. He wanted a vision. I sought the Lord for the vision. I've given the vision. It's up to us as a church to respond. And to be a praying church. Coming when we're gathered together to pray. To seek God. And then He will move us into the next steps. Let's not be Jonah. Let's not be Jonah. And you may think, well, you've told us the vision and you've preached a few times. You might think this morning that I'm like a dog with an old bone. I want to tell you something. I'm going to be like a dog with an old bone, if that's how people think about it, because I can only discharge what God has told me to discharge. The importance of the prayer meeting. on a Wednesday evening to be together, to seek the face of God for this place and his future. May God help us. Help each one of us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Going to sing one song to close, and